23 minutes past six on Tuesday morning on Times Radio Breakfast, and for the first time in 60 years this summer, an Atlantic bluefin tuna was caught in the North Sea. It weighed 358 kilograms. The following day, the same crew caught another one. But campaigners say tuna farming is putting the wild population at risk. So why is that? Charles Clover is the co-founder and senior consultant at the Blue Marine Foundation. He's also the author of The End of the Line. His book was later made into a film of the same name, which actually helped build pressure to end the overfishing of bluefin tuna. Charles, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you give us some context first about the Atlantic bluefin tuna? Why is it considered to be so important and so premium?
Well, it is, as you may have discovered, the most delicious fish I can imagine. It's the most delicious thing I've ever eaten. I've been rationing myself. I haven't eaten it for 20 years because it was fished to near extinction by an absolute feeding frenzy of commercial fishing and illegal fishing, mainly in the Mediterranean and Atlantic. And it has come back because of an extraordinary combination of things. One, actually proper fisheries management, and a little bit of help from global warming, which has helped it and its feed species. And it's a miracle of fisheries management and nature that we need to protect. It is now in good conservation status, but the recovery is not really over yet. There are so many things that could go wrong. We've got to be so careful with this recovery.
Yeah. And so that miracle is at risk. What is putting that miracle that you've described at risk?
Well, the thing that put it within inches of endangerment before is the thing that is putting it at risk now, which is the farming in the Mediterranean mostly of the species. This farming is a misnomer. It's rounding up medium-sized tuna and fattening them up to a level where they attract the premium prices in the principally Japanese market, but other markets as well, and basically keeping them there until they can be fed slowly into the food chain. This isn't really farming at all. It's honestly a disgraceful thing. We shouldn't round up wild fish in this way. The wild fish has all sorts of our welfare issues because this is a thing that needs to be swimming continually for all of its life. And if it's in a cage, it just has to go round and round at an enormous sort of like a top. And it is not good for it. And you can see from the state of the fish that are in these cages that they're not well most of the time. And there are blemishes and eyes missing and all sorts of horrible things. Mm. We shouldn't be farming carnivorous fish at all, in my opinion, because it's actually a negative thing. You end up with a net reduction in the number of fish in the sea because you're feeding fish to fish, and in the case of tuna you're feeding an enormous number of fish. Many of the fish that you're feeding are overfished themselves, so the whole thing is a cycle of destruction. But they claim it's sustainable at the moment. For the tuna it is, for the feed species it probably isn't. And if you go on doing it as much as they are currently doing it, if the so-called farming goes on growing, then there will be huge pressure on the system. They've done something quite sensible under the International Convention for Conserving the Atlantic Tunas. They've really got it down to a T of the making sure people don't cheat as much as they were before. But I think there is a massive amount of cheating still goes on in the Mediterranean. But by putting observers to make sure that what goes from the court net to the farm net every time, and by cutting down the tuna fishing seasons, at the moment, they've got the thing under control. Yeah. How long that remains, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that... So here, you know, we mentioned the fact that two of these had been caught, actually, in the North Sea in recent times. Were you celebrating that fact out of interest? Is that a good thing?
I think it's utterly wonderful. These fish were, in my money, over 700 pounds each. And that's almost up to the size that the Mitchell Henrys and the John Waynes and all those people were catching in the 20s and 30s. It was a sign of nature's enormous productivity. The sea hadn't been exploited because of the First World War, so everything had come back. And these fish are probably very long lived, and these wonderful huge 700 and 800 pounders contain an enormous amount of eggs and spawn, and are the breeding colossi that will maintain the species. So it's with mixed feelings that I see them being caught.
Yeah.
In one sense, it's the recovery of nature, but it's also a warning that we could get it so wrong again, and we have before.
And just very briefly, Charles, at what point would you start eating bluefin tuna again?
I think I would eat it now under very limited circumstances. I mean, I would eat it once a year because it is conserved, and you have to say that that all we can do is manage fish stocks. We either don't fish them at all, which I prefer not to do with this enormous predator that is so important to the sea. But if we're going to have a very limited catch, and of course the British catch is about under 1% of the whole Atlantic and Mediterranean catch. Mm. And so we get 200 tons or something, of which we catch about half that commercially. The others are rod and line, and put back, as far as I know. If it's managed that well, then I might have a little bit now and again.
Understood.
But if it begins to dip, you won't catch me eating it at all.
Well, that's helpful to know. Charles, thank you very much. Good to speak to you this morning.
Thank you.
That's Charles Clover, who is co-founder and senior consultant at the Blue Marine Foundation.
It is 6:30. After 7 o'clock this morning, we'll speak.